Welcome to the Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And before we get started this week, I have a special announcement. So, behold, our... Oh, wait for the smoke to clear.
Oh, it was fire.
Right. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Wait for the smoke to clear. So, my special effects are a little off, but we have our first, the Alpha... Alpha and Omega at this point. The first weakling Patreon level subscriber. So Orcus Dorcas, who is very often in the chat, is now our weakling on Patreon. So the strongest of all. Yeah.
The strongest weakling of all. Yeah.
Strongest of all. So more like maybe a semi-annual or much more than weekly. But thank you so much, Orcus, awesome. for supporting us. And it's great to see you in chat. We appreciate you. Hanging out. And so at the end of the stream, so after the regular episode finishes, I'll jump into chat and all of this audio will then be available in the Patreon.
Cool.
All right. So this week on the weekly, Gary Kahn lawsuit. So Luke Gygax responds to a... So we're not out of the woods yet with TSR-related Gygax family troubles. And Free RPG Day 2021.
That's right.
Chaosium buys Doll's House, Cthulhu Hack, the Cthulhu Hack bundle.
Right.
Bundle of holding. And a TTRPG bundle for Afghanistan on itch.io. So let's start with the
negative.
the drama. Yeah, so this is very odd. It was just kind of a leak. There was a not really a leak, but there was a document posted on a Dropbox that was then reported on by another site. So, Tenkar's Tavern downloaded a 100-page legal document and was going through this the details of this lawsuit. So named in the lawsuit were both Gary Kahn and Luke Gygax. So Luke Gygax wanted to release a statement, and the details are, it mentions Servotronics, which is a parts manufacturer, a knife company, and some other, and they have some other relationships. So in this lawsuit, inappropriate financial relationships are alleged, widespread corruption, misbehavior, toxicity, and dishonesty. I don't know. Some of those don't sound like crimes, but there's also bizarre allegations of forced brothel visits and sexual harassment.
Okay.
So this is the full buffet, I guess, of like, so it may just be somebody trying to trash the reputation and just they have some peripheral relationship or some sort of financial dealings. And so Luke Gygax released a statement to kind of clarify. So the named business associate, Ken Brovnik, Trovich. There's not enough vowels. I'd like to buy a vowel for that last name. So Ken is not associated with Gary Kahn and never will be. Ken has never owned Gary Kahn. Gary Kahn received some support from associated businesses named in the lawsuit. He addressed concerns around the charity auction and promised that it will be videoed in the future. So maybe there was some mishandling. There was some charity auction and they were debating what happened there. And they acknowledged that there are money fees paid for handling the charity auction and donation. So maybe part of this lawsuit is around an auction they did at the convention.
Okay.
So without reading the 100 pages of this, it's just like we're back to this again. That like people are just very opportunistic and looking to
I often wonder, like, I'm not, this isn't the first time I've seen that. Mm-hmm. Like, speaking of like full-time jobs, like, who has time to download a 100-page legal document for some kind of hobby bullshit and troll through it? I appreciate people who summarize that.
Mm-hmm.
My attention span and time is like, oh, this tweet is three this Twitter thread is three tweets? No, I don't have time. Yeah. Says someone who has they're hundreds long, right, for game development stuff. But still, after a certain point, I'm just I don't have time for this. So
that may be what they're counting on, too. If they can just do a press release or get something in the news, Gary Kahn accused of forced brothel visits or whatever.
That would be a headline. Yeah.
So yeah, this salacious. So maybe we should just go into tabloid tabletop reporting.
I think we should.
Yeah. And We can report on the Bat Boy and then the events of Gary Conn.
Bat Boy's still around.
So, yeah, I'm sorry to hear this. This is not, I mean, I thought this was done. I thought after the last shenanigans, we would be.
It's never going to be done.
So, yeah, unfortunately, you got to be careful who you're doing business with. Mm-hmm. And in the Midwest, there's some desperate characters because there's not the business. It's, you know, it's scarcer. The funding, the rich, you know. How people have made their money and what they're, you know, kind of doing in the Midwest is a lot different from, you know, LA or New York. And it's a different scale. Right. So you run into some people taking advantage. Yeah. Just in my short experience of that, I was surprised the number of shysters that are up trying to pick the bones of the flyover there. But on to happier and free things.
Ooh.
Free RPG day.
Which is when in 2021?
It is October 16th this year.
Oh, so very soon.
Yeah, so very soon. Words, so we've got a week. Yeah.
Way too soon for me to try and put something together.
Right, right. Yes, so they released a list of some of the publishers involved. And if you haven't heard about this before, it's a free event with local game shops where they're sent packets of physical things, but there's also digital downloads online. So you won't be able to get, like, if they release, like, if Q Workshop releases dice or something, you're not going to have access to those online, but it's a good way to support your local game store. And I think they also run events, like, they'll also run some of these materials or encourage you to do so. And it's a great way to try out new systems and new games with little kind of quick start, one-shot adventures. So, and it's a lot of big participation as usual. So some of the highlights, so Paizo is there's both Starfinder and Pathfinder, as usual. And Bertram's Grove is a booklet for the Root role-playing game.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, Magpie will be releasing an adventure for that. Soulbound, the Cubicle 7 Age of Sigmar, is releasing Reap and Sow, an introductory adventure to kind of get you into it. And also Cubicle 7's Victoriana, they're releasing Going Underground. So another adventure, so that steampunk fantasy game of theirs. And then in addition, a lot of other contributions would be things like Blue Rose, a medieval fantasy RPG, Dune Adventures in the Imperium has an adventure, Star Trek Adventures, Octoon Cthulhu, so that's all Modiphius.
Right.
Zombicide Chronicles, so I guess Zombicide has an RPG, and so that's, yeah, that's, come on, and who owns, who's, oh, Fantasy Flight is Twilight, yeah, so Twilight Imperium has an RPG as well.
Yep, yep, that's right.
So in that world, there are adventures, and then Talisman Adventures. So every board game also has an RPG, just in case you were wondering. Yeah, I guess if the setting is, you know, been around long enough and there's interesting enough characters, they've tried to do an RPG. I just don't know what systems or mechanics.
Talisman's pretty much roll and move, right? And then you follow little things. But, I mean, there's stuff there. But, like, other board games, like that one time I played Descent, like, because all the stuff got offloaded into fairly compact board game style rules that felt kind of freed us up to role play a lot more. So I can see a lot of fantasy themed or appropriately themed board games kind of having a role playing game component, even if it's like a campaign mode or whatever. Because heck, even I've never played it, but Pandemic has the, like, I forget what it's called, like Legacy or something, where like it's a continuing game. So even if it's like chained little dungeons, hell, HeroQuest.
Oh, yeah.
Might as well had like an RPG or at least campaign component. So
and that's true.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, and it probably isn't. I mean, they've got a lot of art assets and everything, so it's probably not hard to produce those books to support things. I mean, if Wendy's could do it, I guess anybody can.
Linking it back to Critical Role, right?
So, yeah, that's October 16th this year, so we got about a week away. So check out, your local game store. I don't think Japan participates in any way, but your local English-speaking game store.
Well, I mean, and, that's the thing. It's been how long since I've been able to get anywhere, and the only place I know to, I don't even know where to buy RPG books.
Yeah, Yellow Submarine, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
They have a section, but I think they stopped doing any English language.
That's, yeah, they kind of did,
kind of phased out, yeah.
Yeah. But, I also heard something about D&D 5e, like after a certain point, around like 2022, I think like Japanese translations just done.
Wow.
I don't know whether that's coming from Wizards or whatever company is here at localizing.
Oh, Hobby Japan.
change.org or some kind of one of those petition sites, like in Japanese,
with
it to like keep this going, right?
Interesting. Yeah, no. If it is Hobby Japan that localized it, they've been dumping a lot of English-speaking stuff. They don't support Warhammer anymore.
Oh, wow.
They used to have a big new Warhammer section in their magazine. So interesting that, they've just decided. So maybe they just can't get the interest. Or like I've experienced trying to, sell art and things in Japan. People are really excited in the short term, and it's very unique and interesting. But actually, the long term interest of people with that, like foreign things, is very small. It's quite tiny.
Well, the thing with D&D, it might also be WotC going. The market in Japan is not big enough for us to pay this expense. So.
Right. And when they've got China right next door, Japan never looks. I mean, Japan is a great loyal, fan base. But if you're talking about just sheer numbers, if that's all you're interested in, then
we're the size of California.
Yeah, right.
Barely. Yeah.
But speaking of Games Workshop, they should pay attention to this next story because this is how it's done.
Ooh.
Okay. So the Call of Cthulhu publisher, Chaosium, just bought Dolls House. So Dolls and D-H-O-L-E.
Right. That kind of big underground worm thing.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. So this was a free website for fans. And so players and keepers, there were a lot of resources on this website. All offered for free, but all using the 7th edition rule set. And so people immediately, maybe a little bit worried.
Yeah, but understandably
But they released a statement saying there's going to be no noticeable changes for existing users. They're going to keep improving the features and functionality and make it a resource to benefit all Call of Cthulhu gamers. So the creator, Lee Carnell, was hired by Chaosium. Cool. And so working as an in-house software developer. So this is what you do when someone has developed something amazing. You don't send them a cease and desist. You talk to them, and then you talk to them in kind of good faith.
Right.
Because I think what's happening now with all these animators that have been
with GW.
Yeah, with Games Workshop, Games Workshop was talking to the animators, they give them an NDA that basically forces them to shut everything down to even begin talking, and then probably when they can't come to terms, for compensation or scheduling or whatever, then they just stop talking to them. But they have signed that NDA that's good for, 3 years or whatever. And so that keeps them off Patreon, off YouTube, everything without facing, legal repercussions.
Right.
So, deal in good faith, talk to these people, and you'll have a valuable asset and someone that's passionate about your game, about your setting, working for your company.
It's weird. I wonder if after a certain point or after something gets big enough, if there is kind of a legitimate worry that you'll have a competitor. But why wouldn't you bring that under the umbrella of your company, right? You said, you have this asset, you have some kind of fan base built in there. People use this site. Like, cool. Well, we want to buy this, right? It's ours now. Go about your business and keep doing it.
Right, right. And I think when you have somebody passionate about your IP, you want to encourage them to stay interested in your IP instead of getting soured by how you've handled it, how you've dealt with them. And then they do create you have created a competitor in that way.
Or the detractor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, someone that's going to throw some hate on you. Yeah. But so what was this site? I've never used it before, and they give some details. So you can quickly and easily create 70 characters and maintain a library of character sheets. So that's excellent for the lore keepers. Thank you. 118 occupation templates are supported, and also additional versions, Pulp, Cthulhu, and Gaslight, and then also some modern era story backgrounds. A generator that makes handouts such as in-game artifacts, telegrams, business cards.
I was supposed to say telegrams.
Yeah, newspaper clippings, and calendars. That's brilliant. I mean, that's a great thing that online resources are able to do. It's just put your text on top of a little, especially when you're dealing with online stuff, you can just hand people.
I hadn't really thought about that, yeah.
That's really nice. An online dice roller, which will allow you to email the results to people. So you can kind of play a slow turn-based, through the mail game.
I thought it was a more I'm not cheating look, right?
Right, right.
But through the mail, that'd be cool.
And also the dice roller can be set up so it requires players to enter the reason they made the roll and details for what they're doing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's really clever, well thought out. A feature that is no longer working, but they may bring back, and if they have a little bit of funding, was they were also running Twitter bots that would act as characters. So they're running bot characters that you could then interact with as NPCs.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So a lot of love and a lot of, attention went into this. So it makes so much sense for Chaosium to embrace it instead of saying, that's our IP, get rid of it. You know, you can't use any of our...
The only other experience I've had with this is kind of with GW, like you said, where they've kind of moved all their codices, because that's what they still are to me, like onto like an app or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just kind of seems like whenever a company buys something like this and shuts it down and then puts out like their version is just not as good.
Right, right. Yeah, because it doesn't have the passion in it. It just has people that are punching a clock that you're saying, hey.
As someone who punches the clock, like, I want to say from 9 to 5. It's not. It's from like 9 to 6. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the app that you would develop for yourself to use in your tabletop sessions would be different from the one you would make for your, your measly salary from another company. So, yeah, that's a big difference. So, yeah, and... So this was all available for free, but as proof that this was a valuable asset to people, there were over 200 people that bought a coffee for Lee on Ko-fi. So there was support in people thanking the developer. So it's good to see that they're going to actively be doing things. And, I'm sure there's so many ideas the developer has of things that they want to implement, and he's only going to bring that to Chaosium. So
hopefully now they can implement those.
Yes. Yeah. So looking good. And speaking of Cthulhu, the Cthulhu hack is now on Bundle of Holding.
Yeah, I looked at that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got, if you don't like the crunch and percentiles and hit locations and whatever, all the detail of that early kind of basic role playing system that Call of Cthulhu uses, you can strip it down using basically the system of the black hack.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. So this is, kind of customized. So you're basically rolling, D20s for skill. You only have like two, there's just two mechanics, saves and resources. So you're rolling D20 saves, and there's advantage and disadvantage D20s, and then rolling resource rolls.
I think I had an early, maybe Ashcan-ish edition of the Cthulhu hack, only because I liked the black hack so much. It's because it's like, like you said, D20 roll under.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And it's all player facing, where like the GM doesn't roll the dice. It's just monster attacks you, make your armor save, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. So I looked at the Cthulhu hack, and I don't know. I think it didn't grab me as much as I thought it would, only because sometimes I think like when you go like a profession, sometimes it doesn't fit into like a class structure a little bit, but I still really like the role that they kept, like the role under mechanics. And like you said, if you're kind of daunted by all the crunch that goes into a Chaosium Call of Cthulhu, this would be a good alternative where you're just like, things are kind of stripped down, but I'm sure you still have the things that make it kind of a Cthulhu game, such as, essentially sanity points.
Right, right. Yeah, they have some of the mechanics that were created for the system specifically were wealth, fortune, adrenaline, and shock. So those were all kind of tweaked to work well. And it's using, of course, the Cthulhu mythos. So if you're into that. And the core book itself contains Save Innsmouth as the kind of starting adventure. But you'll need like a full set of polyhedral dice because going to be a lot. Yeah, there's not just D20s. There'll be other rules. Okay. For certain things. And so, and I think maybe like resource roles and stuff, because I think it's similar to what they did for Forbidden Lands. Because I remember when we were reviewing that system and people were talking about that, like, that's black hack.
Usage dice kind of thing like that. Or I could see that, where like it starts out at a die type and every time you use it, you roll it. And if you roll like a certain small number, it degrades to a next smaller die and things kind of go down and down and down. I could see that in a Cthulhu game for, like you said, like wealth, adrenaline, or shock. Mm-hmm. That'd be a nice kind of visual way. That mechanic a lot, the usage die and how it kind of ticks down. And it's a nice visual way to say your die type is getting smaller, right? So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I like that with luck mechanics and things too. Yeah, if you can roll your luck, but you lose it every time. Yeah. Nice. So for just under $6, you can get the core book, Game Master Reference, and a lot of the kind of starting adventures, three mini source books, and a lot of supporting materials. And that's just the basic level. And then the
level up
is the D sanction. And so that's the bonus collection includes 5 Cthulhu hack investigations. And those are Hunters in the Dark, Mother's Love, Three Faces of the Wendigo, Throw Centuries Fixed and Valkyrie 9. So that's it's a big chunk of money. So about $43 retail for $9.50 of if you level up. But of course, with Bundle of Holding, that grows. They run their little algorithm, so it changes as people support it. But yeah, the starting price was $9.50. So I'll put a link to that, and you can check that out. And that all goes to support the Beechwood Cancer Center. So it's, you know, of course, Bundle of Holdings for charity. So you can get something you may be interested in, digital versions and
DRM free too.
Yes, that's a nice thing too. You get your Wizards cabinet, so you can just download them as PDFs. Yep. You're not running through anything. Things aren't going to be watermarked with your name and email address over them or anything.
I might have to get this because one, I'm interested in seeing how they do like investigation style mysteries, right? Because investigation style mysteries can really hit or have the potential to hit a brick wall if there's some crucial plot element that's hidden behind a die roll.
Yes, you're right.
But I've seen people, I think rightly so, kind of say that, but if you give the players all the clues, sometimes it doesn't feel mystery-y enough, right? So I kind of want to see how they've set up scenarios or mysteries, investigations like that.
Right, right.
Also,
that's a good point.
There's a game that I really like, and I forget the author, maybe I'll have to put a link, called Cthulhu Deep, I think it's Cthulhu Deep Green. It's basically Trophy Dark, but as like mythos investigators.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So it's even more stripped down.
Right.
Just you're going to roll a die whenever you try and do this thing. Are you risking your sanity? Are you risking your body? And that was a bit more to my taste than the Cthulhu Hack. Cthulhu Hack was still a bit too crunchy than what I wanted, but I might have to get this just to see if those investigation ideas can be like ported over to Cthulhu Deep Green.
That's cool. Yeah. And the kind of ticking clock of Trophy works nice. Like, the doom approaching, that works perfectly with
that. It is like your sanity ticks up, and like once you hit six, like your investigator's gone.
Nice. Well, that's very cool. Yeah. So, sorry. I'll put a link to that. And one more bundle to talk about this week. So, a TTRPG bundle to support Afghanistan. So dozens of indie RPGs for $20 to aid those that have been targeted by the Taliban. So this is available on itch.io. So the bundle for Afghan support is curated by Librarians and Leviathans.
Cool.
And so 70 games by 40 different creators.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a lot of stuff. So solo rules for miniature war games and hacks of existing RPGs, Pathfinder, Honey Heist, Lasers and Feelings. So a lot of content. Some of the highlights they said were Book Reprocessing Machine 5 by Jen Martin, turning old books into poetry. Hmm. Arena Battles in a Post-Apocalyptic Scandinavia, Fever Pit.
Okay.
A tarot-based two-player game, Tarot Telling for Two.
Hmm.
Meditations on Death in Today's Passing. Bahir Gauss's It Was Never Yours, a game that sees you robbing a British museum in the post-Brexit Britain.
Love that title. It Was Never Yours.
Yeah, so returning it. And a single page RPG, Steamed Hams, based on the Simpsons meme with Super Nintendo charmers.
Super Nintendo.
That's good. All right. But yeah, so it looks like it's a lot of stuff. Yeah, they say combined value is $267 for $20. And it goes to a good cause. A cause. They released an explanation on the page, or posted an explanation on the page about who they're supporting. So most of the families that are in hiding and moving locations every few days to escape the Taliban. They cannot go to banks. They cannot cash out. They cannot go shopping for food or essentials. They don't have money left to top up their phones. So the thing that this is supporting is the phone credits for Afghans' account.
Okay.
So it's giving people. This campaign is giving people access to basically phone calls and things, so they can call, they can communicate with lawyers and foreign organizations to help them. And so they cannot access information about security threats or evaluation options, and they cannot maintain contact with family and friends in Afghanistan or abroad. So this will run until the end of October.
Hmm.
And it sounds like a great cause. It's nice that they could move so fast on this, because this is a recent development from this summer. So it's nice. And it's good to see, tabletop supporting good causes and putting the popularity and the kind of fan bases behind things like this.
Like I said, I've kind of wondered about, maybe get into the, I've kind of wondered about the, not ethics, But I mean, like these bundles and like bundle holding and like these fundraisers, it's kind of like, do you want these games? Right. And so like I've bought stuff where I'm just like, I like this cause. So the games are kind of ancillary.
I'll look
at them when I get a chance. Other time I'm like, I'm really interested in this game. Why not pay a little bit more or sometimes a little bit less for the game if the money's also going to a charity? So.
Yeah. At first, when this became super popular, it's like they did it with video games and everything, you know, like about 10 years ago, this just started. And I was a little concerned that they're kind of, you know, trying to break down your impulse buy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, I'd really like to have that. And it's like, oh, it's for a good cause. So, you know, it makes you click the button easier. But I think it's been around long enough that there hasn't been scandal or hasn't been lawsuits connected to how they're dealing with charities and stuff. So it seems like they've done everything above board, at least Bundle of Holding and Humble Bundle, as far as I know, have done. And itch.io.
We haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah. So we haven't heard anything about misappropriation or anything, unlike Gary Kahn. But... allegations. It's a good thing, and I'm glad that it proved itself instead of just mysteriously going away when we found out.
Like all those NFT artists, right?
Right.
Whoops, you got your money. We're gone.
Right.
I promise it'll be the one time I bring them up.
Nice. So that is it for this week. So
cool.
A change that's coming with the Patreon. So now the audio for this episode will be available, the full audio. So I'll jump on the chat after we say goodbye and kind of do question and answer and talk to everybody that's online. And all of that is going to go into the Patreon RSS feed for the episode. And this, the regular part of the episode, of course, is available wherever you get your podcast. So Upturntables Weekly is everywhere, even Amazon Music. We just were added to Amazon Music.
Putting more pennies in Bezos' pocket, eh?
We can't help it. So thank you for joining us. And where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. That's HiveMind, HYVEMYND, where I'm still doing Tabletoptober.
Oh, nice.
So like day eight. It'll be day eight.
Nice.
And really seeing the appeal and usefulness of those GW contrast paints.
Oh, yeah.
I wish to God they were not 1,060 yen pot. That's kind of ridiculous. So I was like, oh, hey, look, you can buy the whole set for $300,
right?
48 paints, something. I'm just like,
yeah. And unfortunately, paints, and especially like rattle cans and things, you can't import. They have to come through the sources because of all the, you know, chemicals and, you know, kind of stuff that they have to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
Importing it. So, yeah, we can't get it from eBay or anything into Japan. So they got us.
Yeah, they got us. Yeah. But for people who are maybe a little bit older, whose eyes maybe don't work quite so well and whose hands don't really go where you want them to go sometimes, I'm like, wow, these contrast paints are fantastic. I can just kind of slap it on and it stays. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Okay. So how about you?
So I do a weekly single panel gag cartoon, so Abuse Cartoons on both YouTube and Twitch. And you can go to abusecartoons.com to see everything I've done, books and everything that I've released with the cartoons. And if you want to see the archive of the couple thousand cartoons that I've done for that series, go to gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you'd like to become a weakling, like and follow in the footsteps of our alpha, Orcus Dorcas, please consider supporting this podcast on patreon.com/upturntable. We've got a lot of exclusive stuff that's coming out. I'm doing a lot of the audio fiction readings that are going on. And that's also on the RSS feed as well, that are going directly into the Patreon. And I might try to, I think what's going to happen is those will also be in the membership. So if you see the join button below us on YouTube, if you become a member, those audio fiction files will also be available. There'll be YouTube videos.
Cool.
So there will be a little animation. But they will be available for members on YouTube as well. So if you're not a fan of Patreon, don't want to get involved in that, but you do have an account on YouTube, then subscribe to us and then also click join to become a member and have access to all those member files.
Cool.
And that's it. So Upturntable on all social media and upturntable.com.
Cool.
That's it for this week. We'll do this again next week.
Litter mortals. Bye.
Goodbye.